Welcome to the Christian Heritage Church podcast. We're located in Graniteville, South Carolina, near Augusta, Georgia. I'm Pastor Stephen Phillips, and I'm glad you've joined us. We're on a mission to love people to life in Jesus Christ. Our prayer is that this podcast will be used to bring you to life in Christ, renew your faith, and strengthen you on your journey with Him. To learn more about Christian Heritage Church, go to ChristianHeritageChurch.com and discover additional ways that you can partner with us to make a difference. Thanks for listening today and enjoy the podcast.
2 Corinthians. It's been several weeks since I've been able to share with you like this. That battling vocal issues and those things, but I'm thankful to be able to talk to you today and share God's word. I thank you for just an incredible start to this year as a church, month of January. I'm going to just tell you, the month of January has been the highest average attendance that we've ever had in the history of our church this month, this past month. And in saying that, you know, of course, I'm not talking about months where there's Easter, things like that, as far as factoring that into the average. But I'm talking about just in our regular Sunday attendance, and I appreciate that. And not only that, so many of you, your children, we're thankful that you're allowing us to minister to your children as well, because that's the whole church. And I'm very mindful, everything that's taking place in this room and in this area, it is being done as well up in the kids' ministry space. So I want you to be aware of that. There is ministry going on beyond this room, and you that have children are well aware of that. And we're thankful for all those that are working and for you that are a part of that and volunteer when it's your time as well. Thank you so much. I started on the 14th to, I thought it might be a series coming out of 2 Corinthians, and then wasn't able to preach the last two Sundays. So we're going to go back to 2 Corinthians, but we're going to 2 Corinthians chapter 2. 2 Corinthians chapter 2. In 2 Corinthians chapter 1, the title of that message was Deliverance in Despair. Deliverance in Despair. And it was there where the Apostle Paul, he talked about the difficulties of life and how that the God of all comfort comforted him and would also comfort his people there in the Corinthian church in all of their trials and trouble. So the Lord brings deliverance through the Comforter, through the strength and power of the Holy Spirit, and brings us through the difficulties and of life. And so when we are in despair, God comes with His power and deliverance and comfort and strength and brings us out of that. And the things that we go through, God will use that. When He comforts us, He will use that as a ministry for us to comfort somebody else, because Jesus is the same and no respecter of persons. And He's what He will do for one, He will do for all as we trust in Him and believe in Him. Now we get to chapter 2. And there's a couple of verses, a few verses that have stood out to me in my reading. And so that's where I feel like the Lord has drawn me to, beginning with verse 3 of 2 Corinthians 2. And we'll read it here together in the New King James Version on the screen. 2 Corinthians chapter 2, beginning with verse 3. It says, "And I wrote this very thing to you, lest when I came, I should have sorrow over those from whom I ought to have joy, having confidence in you all that my joy is the joy of you all. For out of much affliction and anguish of heart, I wrote to you with many tears. Not that you should be grieved, but that you might know the love which I have so abundantly for you. But if anyone has caused grief, it has not grieved me, but all of you to some extent, not to be too severe. Verse 6. This punishment which was inflicted by the majority is sufficient for such a man, so that on the contrary, you ought rather to forgive and comfort him, lest perhaps such a one be swallowed up with too much sorrow. Therefore, I urge you to reaffirm your love to him. For to this end, I also wrote that I might put you to the test whether you are obedient in all things. Verse 10. Now, whom you forgive anything, I also forgive. For if indeed I have forgiven anything, I have forgiven that one for your sakes in the presence of Christ, lest Satan should take advantage of you, for we are not ignorant of his devices. I want to read verse 11 again. Lest Satan should take advantage of us, for we are not ignorant of his devices. This morning, I want to preach a message that I've titled Forgiveness as Spiritual Warfare. Forgiveness as Spiritual Warfare. There's a lot of folks that go through life, and a lot of times the misery we experience comes from, and a lot of misunderstanding that we have through life comes from an underestimation of who our enemy is. We underestimate the enemy of our souls. Now, there are people who overestimate the enemy. They give the enemy too much credit. And that's concerning to me as well. But I'm afraid most people have a tendency to underestimate. Because when I've walked with so many people through the years, through trials, and the first person we want to blame for our difficulty is God. That lets me know that we don't quite understand what's happening and what's going on. But nevertheless, God is the one we are to turn to. So there's these problems of overestimation and underestimation. And what we want you all as a church and for all of us is to have a balanced view of these things that we encounter in life, and that we understand the spiritual things. We know that Jesus said in John 10:10, He said, Satan comes but to steal, kill, and destroy, but I, Jesus, have come that you might have life and have it the more abundantly. We see this balance, and this is the balance that we don't need to lose sight of. And I want to say this loudly again. You've heard me say it. Jesus is not in an arm wrestling match with the devil. He is all powerful. God is all powerful. Satan is not all powerful. He has power, but he's not all powerful. Jesus, God, the Godhead, the Holy Spirit is omniscient, all knowing. The enemy is not all knowing. We've got to get this solidly in our hearts and minds. We understand that it's not God having trouble with the devil. It's us that battle that. And so what I want us to do is get a right perspective, because I think it'll help us today. And in this text, it's a unique text to use for this, but I want you to see it. Now, it is true that the devil, Satan, Lucifer, however you want to call, old Slewfoot, whatever it is, whatever we want to call him, he's a real person. He's a real person. He's a real personality. He's a fallen angel. He was cast out of heaven, and along with demonic activity, fallen angels in this world. That's as real as anything that is just as real as the platform I stand upon. That is a fact. But again, our God is not the one that is struggling with this foe. Now, the Bible makes it clear that the enemy, the devil, is the ruler of this world system. The Bible teaches that. The ruler of this world system. We'll see that in Scripture. Jesus even said, I believe it was John 12:31, he said, the God of this world be cast out. He will be cast out. There is a coming time when everything that he is doing in the earth there'll be an end to that. That's already been determined. It's God's already stated it. It has already been accomplished, in fact. What Christ did on the cross was all that was needed to accomplish that reality, but it will come in full force in the days ahead. God has given his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish but have everlasting life. And we are saved right now when we believe, but we are being saved and we'll see ultimate salvation in eternity. Same way, the enemy is defeated. The enemy is destroyed. And we understand that Jesus is all powerful, and Jesus is the Savior of the world. He is God. And so you and I are not to have, as Paul told Timothy, a spirit of timidity as believers today. We are not to have a spirit of fear, but of power, love, and a sound mind. And that's with all of these realities being true, we are not to fear him, because we are the association of the redeemed. We are the household of faith. We are the children of God. We belong to him, and you and I are on the winning side because we're on his side. And when we followed him, therefore you don't have to be gripped by fear, but we need to understand that we need to have this knowledge concerning these things. And this is what I want to share with you. In the sixth chapter of Ephesians, verse 12, and I want us to read this together. It's very important for us to know this. Ephesians 6 and 12, it says, "For we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this age, against spiritual hosts of wickedness in the heavenly places." Notice that we do not wrestle against flesh and blood, meaning we're not wrestling with people. It's not, you're not wrestling with a next door neighbor. You say, but you don't know my neighbor. I'm still telling you, this is not where the real battle is. This is not, there is the enemy that seeks to divide. He seeks to uh, to to bring disunity. He is the one that is ever working to bring confusion and chaos and war and rumors of war all over this world that we see played out before us internationally, but also even in families and local institutions and in the political arenas of this world and this nation. He wants to bring a people into utter chaos. And this unity, but we serve a mighty God. We serve a mighty God, and I want to turn your attention toward Him today. You see, one of the things this text begins to show us, and it may be surprising to us, that one of the ways, one of the real ways the enemy trips us up in this life journey is through unforgiveness. Unforgiveness. But it is in forgiveness that you and I are able to wage war against the enemy and come out victorious. Forgiveness. I want you to look at again the last two verses of our text in 2 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 10 and 11. It says, "Now whom you forgive anything, I also forgive." This is Paul talking. "For if indeed I have forgiven anything, I have forgiven that one for your sakes in the presence of Christ, lest Satan should take advantage of us, for we are not ignorant of his devices." What he's saying is when we don't forgive, Satan will take advantage of us. Satan will take advantage of us when we're ignorant of how he operates when we leave unforgiveness in our heart. I was able to talk to a couple, they're here today, and of course, we talked about this subject even this week, and they know who they are, and I know who they are, and we've talked about this because this is a place that the enemy ever digs in his people, because there's a lot of things that go on in this life that tries to undermine the peace of God in our lives. He's trying to undermine the peace of God. And so the first point I want to make this morning is that forgiveness is peacemaking. Forgiveness is peacemaking. That's for the Christian. For the Christian. Forgiveness is peacemaking. Now, on the other hand, unforgiveness is hostility. And this is the breeding ground of the devil. He wants people to be hostile toward one another. He wants to drive us into our corners to defend our territory and to say what's in it for me. Why should I give in here? Why should I forgive? And it's a breeding ground. A breeding ground. I want us to look at Colossians chapter 2, verse 14 and 15. It says, "Having wiped out the handwriting of requirements that was against us, which was contrary to us, and he has taken it out of the way, having nailed it to the cross, having disarmed principalities and powers, he made a public spectacle of them, triumphing over them in it." What I want you to understand today is on the cross, he has disarmed principalities. That what we read of earlier, that our warfare is not against flesh and blood, but against principalities. Notice here, Paul says that Jesus has that he has disarmed those principalities and powers. He made a public spectacle of the enemy, and he was triumphant over him. Where did this happen? It happened by him nailing it to the cross. It was nailed. You and I need to have confidence today, but not be ignorant. We need to have confidence today, but we need to be informed. And we need to understand, yes, there's a war that rages, a spiritual war. You and I are in the midst of that, but you and I, through Jesus Christ, we understand that Jesus disarmed, and he made that roaring lion a snaggletooth. Peter said that Satan, like a roaring lion, seeketh whom he may devour. Jesus is called the Lion of the Tribe of Judah, and the enemy has always wanted to be him. But he can only roar like a lion. He is a defeated foe. You and I need to cling to the cross of the Lord Jesus today and understand that as when we forgive, we have peace with one another. And on the cross, our Lord, he nailed this to the cross. The hostility was nailed to the cross, and in its place, peace has been growing. See, because that's the only way you have peace is through Jesus Christ. He's the only way. And so peace has been growing, and he wants it to grow in our hearts. And so the enemy tactic is to try to get us not to forgive and try to bring up a root of bitterness inside of us regarding those who have wronged us. But yet Jesus said to those who say all manner of evil against you, he said to bless them. To those who would persecute you, he said bless them. To those who would ridicule you and try to bring the most evil against you, he said, bless them. He said, when someone hits you on one cheek, you turn to them the other cheek. He said in the Word of God, he said that we were to forgive. And he said, not just one time, not just two times, and we could go to Luke chapter 17. I think we have that passage, Luke 17, 2 through 4. He said it would be better for him if a millstone were hung around his neck and he were thrown into the sea than he should offend one of these little ones. Jesus said, take heed to yourselves. If your brother sins against you, rebuke him. If he repents, forgive him. And if he sins against you seven times a day and seven times in a day returns to you saying, I repent, you shall forgive him. Meaning this, no matter how many times he says, I'm sorry, as a believer, you say, I forgive you. In fact, Jesus told the disciples, he said, listen, it's not just seven times, but 70 times seven, you forgive them. Why? 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 Jesus said, if you don't forgive, then I won't forgive you. Now, that's pretty good. I'll be honest with you, that's motivation for me. Enough's been said right there. That's why Jesus taught his disciples to pray in the Our Father which art in heaven prayer. He said, forgive us our debts, our sins, our trespasses, as we forgive those who sin, trespass, have debts against us. He's warning us to be people who are forgiving, not harboring bitterness. And you say, but it's so hard. I agree. In fact, because forgiving when someone harms us goes against every instinct of my flesh. You ever, listen, I've seen sweet people. Somebody accidentally elbow them in the nose like that, ready to pop the person that they love. You know what I'm saying? What was that about? The instinct of the flesh. The instinct of the flesh. This is why the New Testament over and over talks about building up the spirit. Because the instinct of the flesh is to retaliate. Even among people that we love. I've seen some good-hearted guys play basketball. And I'm going to tell you, basketball is one of the roughest sports anywhere. And there ain't no helmet on, there ain't no guards nowhere, but people got elbows. People got bodies. They blocking out and things just happen in the midst of just playing the game. I've seen people that had sense lose their sense. Why? It's flesh. Flesh. But he's given us the only reason we need to forgive, and it's this. He said forgive. It's the only reason we need. Because listen, what if the Lord have not forgiven me my trespasses? And he's saying the motivation for me forgiving is my his forgiveness toward me. And he says in his word, if I do not forgive, that he will withhold forgiveness from me. So there it is. That's how I'm to live it out. It's how I'm to live it out. It's so forgiveness for the believer should be for peacemaking purposes. We're to be peacemakers. And so in the way I view it, life is just too short. And when I say be at peace, I'm not telling you that the person you're forgiving forgives you. I'm not saying that they even will accept it, because they're dealing with that same flesh, and especially if they are not in, they're not in right relationship with the Lord, they are of all people real vulnerable. But again, but we're to make sure as far as we, as much as we have control over, that we live at peace with all men, Paul said. As much as I can control, I'm going to live at peace. You say, but what if it keeps coming against me? I still will forgive. How many times? Yeah, we got them. Then we go from adding to multiplication. But what that really, that number 7 and 70 is a number that speaks to an unending number. It's not us sitting over there with our journal marking off the times that we extended forgiveness. It's not that. And I will tell you, you say, but this is hard. It is. In this flesh, this is hard. In this flesh suit that I'm wearing, this is an impossibility in and of myself. But we serve a God of the impossible. We serve a God that by faith we can do all things. It can be accomplished because we're not leaning just merely on our own abilities of forgiveness. We're leaning upon the finished work of Christ on the cross. And so we lean upon the one who has disarmed and shamed the enemy. And so I stand as a peacemaker today. May we all stand as peacemakers, forgiving one another as Christ has forgiven us. He said in Ephesians 4, he said, be tenderhearted toward one another. You say, that's hard. In Christ, it's possible. Forgiving one another, it's possible. Notice it. And be kind to one another, tenderhearted, forgiving one another, just as what? God in Christ forgave you. How beautiful is that? Okay, so one, forgiveness is peacemaking. For the enemy, he wants the opposite to happen. He wants us to live in unforgiveness and hostility, and he just pushes hostility. But I want to tell you, you know what's hostile to the enemy is when you forgive. You're warring against him. When you forgive, he's receiving that warfare against him, and it wins, not because of our great art of and abilities. No. Because of Jesus. Everything's about Jesus. Everything's about Jesus and him crucified, dead, buried, rose again, ascended into heaven, sitting at the right hand of the Father, interceding, praying for you on our behalf. We have one mediator between God and man, the man Christ Jesus. We're looking for his return in the clouds of glory one day, and it's all about Jesus. Jesus. Okay, so here in our text, back to our text, Paul tells them, listen, you need to comfort this guy who has brought offense to you. Now, from the context, what we learn, this is probably a false teacher who's come in the church of Corinth. He's claimed to be a brother, but he has engaged into false teaching, actually, I believe, attacking the very things that Paul had been teaching them. And later on in the book of 2 Thessalonians, chapter 7, we get a little indicator, how that they were going to bring discipline against this individual. He just notices, he don't call him out by name here. It's not to say, sometimes in Scripture, he called out Alexander the coppersmith. There's been people that he called out for what they were doing in the church, but this guy, he just says him and he and... But what's known is there was a guy who was doing wrong within the church that was bringing disunity within the body of Christ in Corinth, and their discipline had come down, and evidently the discipline came down, and the discipline came down, and the discipline came down, and the discipline came down in the church. That's how this reads. So much so that Paul in this letter is writing, say, y'all, you'll bring this man to utter sorrow. You got to back off now. Y'all stepped over from discipline and you're in unforgiveness. And he said, you've got to forgive him. He said, you forgive him, I forgive him. I forgive him, you forgive him. That's what he said. He said, because if you don't, let's go to that back to 2 Corinthians 2:11. He said, because if you don't, Satan will take advantage of us, for we'll be being ignorant of his devices. So he said, guys, we need to comfort this guy that's offended us now. We need to make sure that he knows we love him. That ultimately we're not against him. It was just the thing that he had done was not in line and in order with the Spirit of God. But we're not against you. And he's grieved over this thing because, see, sometimes what is the right thing, discipline, certainly there's a discipline aspect, but there comes a time, and really it's all a part of it, where we then have to come back, but I love you. I forgive you. I wipe the slate clean. We're to pull together. We got to go forward. We have to forgive. And Paul was very concerned that they were going to give place to the devil. You notice he said that in another place. He said, don't give place to the devil. Here he's saying in this passage, we don't need to be ignorant of his devices. He's trying to divide. This is what the enemy does. The enemy tries to, he wants to divide. He wants there to be a schism. He said, but we're going to be wise to these devices. And I want us all to be wise, and we need to forgive. So forgiveness is peacemaking, and we need to comfort the offended and let them know that they are loved. That's what Paul's is teaching us. The Holy Spirit is teaching us in this portion of Scripture. There's other things being taught, but this is the one I believe the Lord would have me to bring out today, because it's not based on what I know, it's based on what the Holy Spirit knows about all of us. And it's what he knows about humanity all over this world. All over this world. And so, I'm telling you today, we need to weaponize forgiveness. You say, what in the world? Weaponize. Well, the weapon, this is spiritual warfare, and the weapon we need to use is love and forgiveness. That sure sounds, that don't sound like it would hurt nobody. You got the point. We got to weaponize forgiveness. Because what happens when we forgive, not only does it extend pardon to somebody else, it frees us. It gives us freedom. As one person said concerning bitterness and things that we would spew out towards somebody else, it's like wanting to poison somebody else and drinking it yourself. It don't work. You see, we're giving place to the enemy when that happens. But when we forgive like Christ forgives, just like the Scripture says, when in the prayer, in the model prayer, forgive your debts as you, Lord, forgive me of my debts as I forgive my debtors. Forgive my sins as I forgive those who sin against me. And I like to use this language. Pardon me as I pardon my brother, as I pardon my sister. Life's too short, guys. I'm just telling you. There's nothing more miserable in the world than to harbor unforgiveness. And when you are a professing believer and are harboring unforgiveness, that's the most miserable person on the face of the earth. But I want to tell you, if you'll let it go and let God handle that situation, even if they don't change on your side, you give it over to God, you're going to be free at last, free at last. Thank God Almighty. That's what I'm talking about, being free. Free. Freedom. And so we need to say and understand that in that forgiveness as spiritual warfare, we need that to be the weapon of love that comes out of our hearts in this world in which we live. I can't remember his name. I'll I'm gonna just look it up real quick because I'd rather tell you his name. But his name's Ed Welch. He's a counselor, Christian counselor. He said this. He said that the flesh has a sinful bent towards self-interest. Now, just listen, we know it's true. The flesh has a sinful bent towards self-interest. What's in it for me? What's in it for me? Secondly, he says, Satan is a liar and a divider. Now, what's interesting here, when we think about how Satan is a liar and divider, in Ephesians chapter 6, that is the ultimate chapter on spiritual warfare, and we quoted verse 12 of it. That's where we read about the full armor of God and all that, there in Ephesians 6. Interestingly enough, this chapter on spiritual warfare is in a letter, the Ephesian letter, a book that emphasizes unity. It's just interesting. How a book in Ephesians, the Apostle Paul in the power of the Holy Spirit is writing, and it's about the unity of the church in the bond of peace, and it's unity. And in there, he puts in there spiritual warfare, whole chapter. Why? Because my flesh bends to self-interest. How is this going to benefit me? If I tell them I'm sorry and please forgive me, how's that going to benefit me? Because what I'm doing is I'm maybe opening myself up, making myself vulnerable for them to tell off again. So I don't do it. But then it just works more and more in me, doing damage. I'm just telling you. Trust God. Do what's right. Trust God. And I want to tell you, when you walk away, you won't be walking all pompous, but you'll walk away more humble like the Lord. You'll walk away knowing you were obedient. You're walking away pleasing the Lord. No, not to be lifted up in pride in any way, but to know that Jesus was glorified. That God will receive the glory in our life. I want us to look again at Ephesians 6 and 12 as we close. For we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this age, against spiritual hosts of wickedness in the heavenly places. I want to tell you this is true, but the greatest truth of all today is that God forgives and lets forgive like our God has forgiven us. Live in freedom, church. Live in freedom, church. It'll break chains off of your life. Amen. Would you stand with me? This morning, I want you to hear me. We're going to close this service, but we're going to close it in a special way. Some of you in this room are dealing with situations where this is, you're saying, it's hard, Pastor. This is what I want you to do. I want you to come stand right up here, and we're going to let everybody else go, but we're going to pray. So if you're here today You want to know the Lord Jesus Christ, your Savior? By all means, I'm here for you. I want you to come up today with the rest of these. But I want you to just step out from where you are and just come this way. Before I dismiss anybody, I want to open this door. Because this is just where the rubber meets the road right here. This is where the rubber meets the road. This is where we are. This is where we are. Just come on from every direction. Just come on. Some of you have been mad with God about some stuff. But God's going to turn that around today. He's going to change this stuff today. Come on, if you'll just slide toward the middle here, if all y'all just slide toward the middle, and we'll just keep coming. Anybody else, come on down. Come on down. I want you to come. He's going to do an incredible work in some lives this morning. I believe, do you believe for me for that today? Yes, yes. Anybody else? Come on, there's still people that be coming. I want you to come. It's all kind of, listen, I just mentioned some situations. There's all kinds of stuff. This is so vast, it's beyond my ability to understand or know. Anybody else? You just want to come? You want to be a part of this prayer in just a moment? Just come on. Come on. Come on. Come on. Absolutely. Hallelujah. 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 Praise the name of the Lord. Praise the name of the Lord. Hallelujah. Now I'd like for just our ministers and prayer team leaders, different ones, if you'll come. You're here, you're a believer, and we believe all Christians are part of the priesthood of believers. So if you feel called to help pray today, just step out from where you are. We need somebody behind all these folks. If you'll just come down. Just come down. All right. As these are coming, obviously this means that when we're dismissed, I need you to go out that way if it would cause you to come through here. I need you to leave out through the back entrances. Thank you for being here. God bless you. I love you. And may the grace of the Lord be with you today.
Thank you so much for joining us on the Christian Heritage Church podcast. I want you to take the message you've just received and allow it to go deep into your heart. Allow Jesus to do the deep work that only He can do. And I also want to encourage you to be a part of what we're doing here at Christian Heritage by going to ChristianHeritageChurch.com. Thanks again for being here with us.